Well, today, of course, we have our final reading in this series of Sunday Gospels from the sixth chapter of John, John's great meditation on the Holy Eucharist and the meaning of Jesus giving us his body and blood. We'll get to that in a second, of course, but first, I just want to draw your attention to the ongoing efforts of the bishop in our diocese to respond and make sure that the diocese is safe with regard to abuse that has occurred and the news that we've seen in the church in recent days. So I would just refer you to the bulletin and the diocesan website, the efforts that the bishop is making to cooperate with efforts to make sure that any case in this diocese of abuse in the past have been dealt with properly, and that things are safe in the diocese today. The bishop wrote a letter that says, one thing I'd like to emphasize is that if anybody here has knowledge, yourself or of somebody else, who has suffered abuse from the church in this diocese, to please make it known. If you don't know how to do that, you're welcome to come and talk to me or whatever. And the bishop emphasizes, even if it's not for yourself, even if you don't feel the need for your peace of mind to tell your story, pray and consider telling it for the sake of the good of the church, because transparency is what's going to be part of the whole healing process. We're all in this together, and it's an increase in holiness and faithfulness on the part of all of us that will lead to healing and hope in the church in these days. And so going to our readings and meditation on the Eucharist today, we can look at the collect prayer that we said as a way of telling us the effect that the Eucharist should have in our lives when we receive the Lord with faith and with repentance. The collect said, O God, who caused the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise. So a good holy communion unites us. There's a reason it's called communion, co-union, right? We share the same table with our brothers and sisters here and throughout the world, and it stirs up that unifying force of grace within us and helps us to see ourselves, God, and our neighbor the way that God sees us, and to love each other the way that God loves us. And so in the book of Joshua and the Israelite people have entered into the promised land, right? And they have taken over the territory that the Lord has given them, and they're about to occupy it and begin their living their life there. And so by God's inspiration, Joshua brings the people together and says, it's time for us all to make a decision. Who will you serve? And he says, will you serve the gods of your ancestors? Or will you serve the ones that are being worshipped in this place? Or will you serve the Lord? I think that's an important thing to think about. Will you serve the gods of your ancestors, or will you be influenced by the modern world? Will you be influenced by all the changing voices that say contrary things to us in different times, in different places? Or will you remember the enduring word of the Lord? And so Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think there's a song that says something like that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Even when things get difficult, the Lord is calling us to greater faithfulness and to greater holiness and to the difficult work that it'll take to make things better. And so when we come to the gospel, we see Jesus enduring misunderstanding and contradiction and rejection because of what he's preaching. The people say, this saying is hard, who can accept it? And of course, coming from the previous Sunday readings, he's promised that he will give us his body and his blood as our food and drink. And so just imagine, the people that are listening to him, people that are following him, people who have heard his preaching, people who have seen his compassion, people who have seen some of the miracles that he's worked. Maybe they've seen him multiply the bread and the fishes. And now they say, well, this is too much. This is too much for us to believe. You've gone too far. We simply can't accept what you're saying. And instead of saying, well, let me explain. I didn't really mean it. Or instead of saying, well, it doesn't really matter whether you believe what I've said or not. He doesn't do either of those things. They don't believe his word, and so he lets them go. Hopefully, you know, we can hope and pray that maybe some of them had a conversion later and came to believe and came to accept the full word of the Lord, including his promise of the Eucharist. But he lets them go because they don't believe. And then he asks his 12 apostles, what about you? Can you believe this? Or are you also going to go? And then, of course, Peter makes his great confession, his great act of faith that says, well, there it is. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? Lord, you're stuck with us. There's nothing that could make us leave you because we believe in you, we believe in your word, we believe in your promise. I think those words can very much resonate today in the difficult times that the church is in. To whom shall we go? And we should not see that as a cause for complacency. We shouldn't see it as a cause for indifference. The faithful can be justly mad as hell at some of the failures and betrayals that have happened in the church in recent decades. But to say, Lord, to whom shall we go, means that we're not leaving the church, we're not leaving the Lord, but we're committing ourselves to whatever it takes to make things better and to participate in the process of making things better. We are all in this together. And if, as I can very well understand, as I have experienced myself, if it's difficult to be a Catholic these days, if it's difficult to keep the faith, if you feel some shame and desire to hide, well, remember, Jesus suffered misunderstanding, contradiction, humiliation, and he was innocent. And there's a blessing in, even if we're innocent, to suffer those things united with Jesus on behalf of the healing of the church. And so as we receive him in the Eucharist today, let us ask that that increase in holiness that will redound to the good of the whole church may begin to work in us. The bishop has asked us in particular today to pray for the church, especially to pray to the patroness of this diocese, Mary, in her Immaculate Heart. And so I'll ask all of us to pray together to conclude. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Amen.